All ready to dig in on this one. As are you ready for new words? Because they're coming. We're joined right now by John Kelly of dictionary.com. John, welcome to Talk 107.3. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing very well. So I saw the list of, some of the new words that are coming out. And I got to tell you, there's a few in there that I'm baffled by. Let's pause right here and just back up to why y'all do what you do. Dictionary.com adopts new words basically every year. Is that just a matter of what grows in the, like, we call it slang lexicon, and things just transcend to where they need to be addressed?
That is a big part of it, but it's not the only part of it. So we're constantly updating our dictionary, and several times a year we do larger announcements that group together a lot of the highlights. And I got to tell you, the amount of words we have to cover is voluminous, and the kinds of language change that we see is restless. The words just don't stop. It's very true of pop culture and slang. You know, words like Nepo baby will emerge as a trend on social media and really break through. But there's other areas of language change too, and that includes the migration, the spread of terms from a specialized area, say science and technology, into the mainstream. And in this update, we saw a really powerful example of that in all the new language around AI. So that's not slang as much. It's more so technical terms that we all need to know. So we keep busy over here.
So to be clear, like AI, or more to the point, right in the shadows of LSU, NIL, these are acronyms, but they're adopted as their own terms as well. How do you differentiate what gets the adoption, even though it's still an acronym?
Well, an acronym I would just consider as a word. It's just a particular flavor of a word. And NIL is a very relevant example. There is a word, think all lowercase, NIL, nil, meaning not a zip, nothing.
Right.
But in the past couple of years, as we've kind of rethought the relationship between money and stardom in college sports, we have terms like name, image, and likeness getting used so much they get shortened. And think now capital NIL, which a lot of people will say like that. Some might say nil. And so we just have to give it a label. We'll make sure that people know as an entry that this is an abbreviation, and then we spell it all out.
We're talking with John Kelly from dictionary.com. The new words are on their way. And, dictionary.com adds more than 3,000 new, updated, and revised words to the world's premier catalog of the English language. Hey, John, how has this evolved from the old school dictionary to what y'all do?
Well, because we're online, expectations change a little bit. Number one, our digital lives and our digital communication have flooded us in so many ways, all sorts of new vocabulary, from slang and, and acronyms like LOL. It also means that we have a responsibility to try to capture that more quickly than ever before. There's also freedom. So back in the day when you had a dictionary, you had a big book and space was at a premium. So you had to try to cram in as much as you could. Now that we have more breathing room online, we can, do that. We can breathe a little bit. So we don't have to cram in as so much, and we don't have to wait for print publication schedules. So we can update the dictionary much more frequently than used to happen decades ago.
We're talking with John Kelly from dictionary.com. Okay, we're going to break down a couple of the words. I want to talk about a couple of your favorites. You already mentioned Nepo baby, which I went and looked up already. Tell us what Nepo baby is.
A Nepo baby is a term for a celebrity who's perceived to be famous because their parents were famous. This is a term that's kind of poking fun at a lot of, Hollywood families. The Nepo, N-E-P-O, in Nepo baby is short for nepotism. We all are probably familiar with this term for when we show favoritism to a family member, say when hiring in a business. This spread online last year, went viral over social media, and it was a topic of national discussion, and it stuck in the English language. It's sticking around, it's useful, people are using it, and so we added it to our dictionary this year.
There are a number of, and I'm gonna get into some of your favorites in just a minute, but there's two that I wanna touch on because they resonate with me for sure, that are not necessarily words, but full-on phrases. Information pollution and decision fatigue. Both of these words hit home in our everyday lives.
I'm so glad you brought up these too, because they really resonate with me too. And you make a good point. Sometimes a new quote unquote word in the English language is a phrase. It can be an acronym. It can be a phrase. It doesn't have to be one singular word. And decision fatigue is a really great example. This is a term that we use to refer to that feeling of exhaustion you have after all the decisions you make during a day, especially the small ones. So you wake up and you have to decide, am I going to go to the gym? Am I going to meditate? Am I going to eat the breakfast burrito? Am I going to have the oatmeal? You go to work and you go, oh my gosh, I got 9 million emails to answer. And then you're exhausted. And then you leave work and you go to the store and you got to get dressing and you go, holy smokes, there's 9,000 different kinds of dressings that I can buy just in Ranch alone. And you go, I just want to sit down and chill out. And you turn on Netflix and you go, I got to turn this off because I can't make a decision between what I'm going to watch because there's a million options. That's decision fatigue. That's right now. That's our lived experiences of what it's being like to be alive in 2023.
Yeah, at a certain point, you just want to just shout, I don't care. Feed it
to
me.
I'm
I don't care.
Yeah, I'm mad as heck and I can't take it anymore. Yeah.
Right, but in the opposite, right? It's the polar opposite. So decision fatigue is one. Information pollution, if we could squeeze that down to an acronym of just IP, I'm all about it. Information pollution in News Talk Radio especially, very, very real. We are pummeled
very,
with
very
this.
Very real. So yeah. this is a term for the fact that when we come across a bit of text, the fact, a post, a message, a headline, whatever you want to call it, whenever you come across a bit of information now, you got to be on guard for whether or not, you know, something false has been inserted, whether bias has been inserted, whether something has been sensationalized for clickbait, whether it was written by AI. These are all things that pollute, that add noise to our information anymore, and more than ever before. And they also add the decision fatigue. It means that we're always on guard at having to decide, am I going to read this? Am I going to act on that? What's true?
John Kelly's our guest. He's with Dictionary.com. Yeah, information pollution is like a fancier way of the way Donald Trump would call things fake news.
It could be considered to be a synonym for fake news. I think information pollution is useful because it brings in an even broader category of all those things that can pollute our information. And it's especially relevant with AI being around like it is now.
John, what are a few of your other favorites?
Well, I can't get enough of this term, YOLA Boca Float. JOLABOKAFLOD. YOLA Boca Float. It's Icelandic. It literally means Christmas book flood. And it refers to this tradition there of giving and reading books all around Christmas time. I love this word not only because it's, you know, a fun challenge to say and spell, but I love that it exists as a word, and I love how it showcases that English is still doing what it has always done very well, which is borrowing words from cultures all around the world. YOLA Boca Float. Try saying it three times fast today.
I don't think I could say it one time slowly.
I don't know. I bet you can do it.
YOLA Boca Float. See, I would have pronounced the J. I would have pronounced the Jala for sure.
That's an acceptable variation. So okay. We also have a pronunciation that accounts for YOLA Boca Float as well. Yep. So both of those are acceptable.
Give me another one. What else is on your highlight reel here?
Well, I really like the term gastrodiplomacy. Gastrodiplomacy. It's a long word, but I think it names a very relatable concept. And this is when a country uses its food, uses its cuisine to try to build diplomatic relations and positive ties all around the world. Speaking of ties, Thailand, right, might engage in gastrodiplomacy. So it recognizes the fact that, you know, Thailand is Thai food is very popular and you can get it all around the world. And it will use its cuisine to try to build relationships with other countries. How wonderful is that? I think food can bring us all together, right?
No, absolutely. Look, you're talking in South Louisiana right now. You are speaking our lieutenant governor's language right now. Louisiana leads the leads the world.
You know a thing or two about gastrodiplomacy.
Oh, we know more. Yes.
A thing or two about-
we invented it. We got John Kelly for another couple minutes. I got to take you back to one more of mine. I saw on the full list, and John, I am shocked that it's taken until 2023 for this one to be on the list. Godwin's Law.
Godwin's law. I'm happy you brought this one up. So Godwin's law, it's been around for a while. You're right. This is kind of a saying in internet culture. And it says the longer an online debate goes on, the greater the probability it is that somebody is going to bring up Hitler or the Nazis.
Yep.
It's named after a guy, a real person, lawyer, author, Mike Godwin. And it started in 1991. And I'm happy you brought this one up because this just shows the breadth of work that we have to do with addiction. Dictionaries like dictionary.com, we're doing our best to try to keep up with the flood of language change. And that means sometimes we may not be as fast as we should be. And you know what? We stand corrected. We should be faster on some of these things like Godwin's law. But we also, you know, one of the reasons why we might not be able to get everything right away is we have to make decisions around priority. Because there's so much language change, we have to decide what's going to be most relevant and useful to as many users as possible right now. But we got Godwin's law covered. We also have Poe's law covered. This is another internet adage that has been around for a little bit. Poe's law is a saying in internet culture that says, unless somebody uses a tone indicator, like an emoji or a winky face, it's almost impossible to tell whether or not they're being sarcastic or not. This is still relevant. You know, if I get a text message from my dad, and my dad's older, and he just, you know, let's say we're organizing dinner plans, and I send this long text about what we're doing, and he comes back with, okay. And I go, oh my gosh, like, are you excited? Are you mad? Did I do something wrong? Give me something a little bit here. Poe's law helps give name to this shared experience we have.
There's a classic Key and Peele sketch about that specifically. Look, we can go down the whole list, but listeners can find it at dictionary.com. John Kelly, thank you so much for a couple minutes.
Thank you so much, Brian. Have a great day.
You too.